You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. Before we start today, I wanted to take a brief moment to say, even though during the very first episode of this podcast, I gave Texas a hard time for giving the rest of us fajitas, Fritos, and Matthew McConaughey, we still love Texas. We're thinking of everybody affected by Hurricane Harvey. If you're like me, you might be overwhelmed by news like this, and it feels like there's nothing you can do to help or that any measly thing you do won't be enough. But every little bit does count, and you can do a few small things that do help. You can donate a few dollars to local food banks like the Houston Food Bank at houstonfoodbank.com. You can donate to the Hurricane Harvey Relief Fund set up by the mayor of Houston. You could just Google Greater Houston Community Foundation and it should pop up for you. Or just Google Houston Ways to Help and a bajillion other charities will come up. You can pick yours and donate a few bucks. It's that easy. It might be small, but it's better than nothing. Also, this is an open invitation to Reba McEntire to join me in singing a charity single, because two gingers with beautiful voices like ours should not be holding back. On to the show! Thanks to our sponsor this week, Squatty Potty! I'm sitting here, as always, with my soundboard slash producer, Barry Finkel. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Matt.
Shut up, Barry.
Yep.
We've got loads of good stuff on today's episode. We're kicking things off, as always, with Worst Things First, the most fucked up shit of the week. Then we're deep diving into why old people are the worst. You thought I just hated babies and teens? Well, listen up, folks. I hate pretty much all stages of life, especially when that stage of life is smelly and rude and constantly walking the tightrope of life and death. So we go there. And finally, we've got the only guest who I won't do karaoke with because he is a much more talented singer than I am, and it intimidates me, Matteo Lane. Comedian, singer, and illustrator, he's going to be on the show for an interview and a new game that we are just now retroactively calling
Diva Deathmatch.
We've got all that today on the show, so stick around. Let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's make a show. All right, let's get into it. Worst things first, the most fucked up news of the week. Our first story is about pizza. Domino's specifically, because they are testing self-driving pizza delivery cars, which means now I will never meet the love of my life. Thanks a lot, Domino's. That's the only chance I had. I can't take greasy pants off of a vehicle, Domino's. The way that self-driving pizza delivery works is that it pulls up to your driveway, and then you have to leave your house and go out and retrieve it. Like, I'm gonna fucking do that with my boner. My open robe. You want me to walk outside for all my neighbors to see? No. Don't take cute delivery boys away from me, Domino's. It's all I have left. Next up, a man in Florida. Only in Florida. He was pulled over and found with drugs and a bunch of money and taken to jail. But when they arrived at the jail, the money appeared to be missing.
Where could it be?
The police were like, hey, what happened to all that money? And he was like, you guys took it. And they were like, I think we'd remember if we took a bunch of money. And then they noticed that there were 20s falling from his buttocks. Because guess what? He shoved $1,090 up his booty hole.
Are they rolls of 20s?
I hope. Okay. I hope he didn't just wad it up. Put it like a ball of 20s up his ass. 20 times 5 times 10. Oh, that's only 50. I could totally fit 50 20s up my ass. Next, a man in Colorado said that someone came up to him in a Steak and Shake parking lot, asked him if he was a neo-Nazi because he had one of those Hitler Youth haircuts that all the cool kids have these days. And before he could answer, this guy started stabbing him in the hand. And the right-wing media went nuts over this. Fox News had a whole story about how this man was stabbed because someone thought he was a neo-Nazi because of his haircut. But guess what? The police looked at security footage. They didn't see anything. They went to this guy and were like, hey, we didn't see anything. And he was like, just kidding. I made it all up. And I stabbed myself. That's the best part of the story, is that this man stabbed himself in the hand in a Steak and Shake parking lot and then was like, you know what? I'm going to take a picture of this and say that someone stabbed me for thinking I'm a Nazi, because that'll help. Here's some advice. Don't do any of this. Try just not doing this. Starting with having a Nazi haircut. Gotta retire it. Macklemore did. Next up, convicted racist in Donald Trump BFF, Joe Arpaio, a.k.a. if the Mucinex monster were a real-life human. Good old Joe wants everyone to stop calling him a racist because it hurts his feelings, even though he was convicted of being a racist. Technically, his defense is that he wasn't convicted of being a racist. He was convicted of not stopping when someone asked him to stop being a racist. Piece of shit, Joe Arpaio. I hope he gets carried away by vultures while he's still alive. I hope they swoop down and pick him up and then carry him out into the desert. Finally, the worst thing that could possibly happen this week of all weeks. Just piling on top of an already miserable time. Sesame Street made a hellish version of Despacito called El Patito.
El Patito.
Oh, that's Spanish for rubber ducky.
And you know what? I hope Bert and Ernie die in a tragic anal prolapse accident because they didn't listen to the song. Ernie just shoved it in raw and then pulled out too hard. And then Bert's anus fell out. And then Rosita, the bilingual Muppet, walks in and they're just covered in blood and poop. Because also Ernie dies from shame. That's why you should always use lube. And go Despacito. And that's Worst Things First, the most fucked up news of the week. Next up, we got a deep dive for you about your grandma. But first, a brief PSA about something that's pissing me off lately.
Doo-doo-doo. Da-da-da-da.
Stop taking Instagram videos of concerts. Nobody gives a shit about your terrible videos. I'm not saying this as an old person who thinks that everybody should put down their phones during concerts and just enjoy it. I don't care if you're on your fucking phone the entire time. Tweet away. But nobody wants to watch your videos. If they wanted to be at the concert, they would be at the fucking concert. Also, every video that you can possibly take at a concert is inherently a terrible video. Basically, videos on Instagram of concerts are like taking a picture of your own butthole. It's always blurry. It makes me cringe. And the only person who cares about it is you. This has been a public service announcement. Deep dive. Wrinkly dick. Depends. Dentures. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive. Deep dive. So this week's deep dive is inspired by my bingo travels. Because last week I was in Chicago, and every time I'm in Chicago, I go to bingo on Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. with my mom and my grandma, because my grandma loves bingo, and she takes the rest of us with her.
Please take us through every step of the journey.
All right, bingo. We have to wake up at 7 a.m. so that we can all get ready. Then on the way to bingo, we stop at Burger King so we can get multiple breakfast sandwiches and coffee. And then we get there an hour early so that we can get the table that we want. We could buy all our shit. And we could set up. We could get all our dabbers out. We could get... Oh, my mom has a bunch of good luck charms that she brings out.
Like what? Like what?
Little trolls that I you have to rub their stomach.
I love her so much.
Yeah. Also, the first hour is like gossip hour, and my mom knows all the tea, and she spills it. The hot goss this week was Grace broke both of her kneecaps, getting down, probably. Anyway, then bingo starts, and it's bingo. I don't know how else to explain it. They call out numbers. They get very mad, though. Those old ladies, because mostly ladies... I think it's all ladies, maybe a man or two. Anyway, if you go too fast, like if the numbers get called too fast, they freak out. They have a routine and nothing can upset it. They get real angry. I won $50.
Yay!
Because I won a bingo.
Can we get a studio applause?
Yay. Thank you. Thank you. My mom bought my cards, so... It was pure profit. So basically, all of those old people were very angry that I won my $50 because they don't think I should be able to ball out at Burger King whenever I want. And that got me thinking about how vicious old people can be. So we compiled a list of reasons old people are the fucking worst. First, their stories are too long. Oh, you fought in a war? Try getting cyberbullied by a bunch of teens on Tumblr, you crustaceous fuck. They're the only reason that Big Bang Theory is still on television. I'm pretty sure all of CBS would be bankrupt if everybody just died when they were 30, like in Little House on the Prairie times. Little Laura Ingalls, she didn't have to worry about old people because everybody died from syphilis or dysentery, whichever came first. Either your dick fell off or you shit out your entire body. And then everybody else was free to play with their pig bladders and faceless rag dolls and just wait until they contracted syphilis or dysentery. The circle of life. The circle of life. It moves us all. Also, old people are bad at gift giving. One Christmas when I was a kid, my grandma gave me a... blouse that had the words hot stuff in flaming pink letters. It was literally pink glittery letters that were on fire in like rhinestones from Carson Pirie Scott and clearly a little girl's blouse that I was gifted. Thank God they taped the receipt onto the top of the box and I had to return it to the Little Miss section. There was no way that you could look at that and think that it was intended for a boy. Unless she was like, it's okay, sweetie. We know. Just like buy me a fucking poster of Chad Michael Murray that I can actually use. Also, all old people get mad at young people for being on their phones all the time. And it's just like, technology is good. Accept the future. When you were a kid, fucking condoms were made out of cardboard boxes and prayers. Old people are the only thing keeping the rest of America from just chopping Florida right off. Just castrating America. Just chopping that phallus right off the bottom. We could have sawed that state off years ago. But no, old people had to set up reservations in Boca Raton. And now we have to send them all money and supplies for their gambling addictions. Because also, every old person is a gambling addict. No exceptions. Let's face it. Every old person would sell out their entire family for a Keno ticket. Whatever Keno is. And finally, I hate old people because all they watch is that one channel on basic cable that's basically not even a channel. It's just an infomercial for a magic copper pot, and I'm sick of it! You're never gonna buy that fucking pot! They just sit there and fantasize about getting that copper pot for 5 installments of $79.95. So take your fucking anger and shove it up the crypt you call a butthole. Up next, we have an interview and a new game with Mateo Lane, coming up right after this commercial break. Today's episode is sponsored by Squatty Potty. Sure, everybody poops, but not everybody does it right. Squatting is better than sitting. Work smarter, not harder. That's my motto when it comes to getting day drunk in the middle of the week and pooping. Squatty Potty is a footstool that easily fits under your toilet so that when nature calls, you can put your feet up, relax, and let gravity do your business. But why? Let's get scientific. So, you got your poop tube. When you sit normally on a toilet, it's kind of kinked, like a hose. But when you squat with your Squatty Potty, your poop tube unkinks and everything can more easily slide right out. Like a slick gopher emerging from her den. The FDA, the Mayo Clinic, and the Stanford Clinic all have endorsed the Squatty Potty as a medically preferred way to number two. The Classic Echo Squatty Potty gives you the ideal foot position for the perfect angle to release tension and provide relief. Also, with all the time you save from not straining, you can pick up a new hobby. I'm thinking needlepoint or roller derby. One of which you can do while using your Squatty Potty, roller derbing. Squatty Potty isn't just great for your health and time, but also for your wallet. So guess what? Unhappy Hour listeners get an exclusive coupon code. Head to squattypotty.com/unhappy to check out all their products. Go get yourself one by using squattypotty.com/unhappy. When you use that link, you'll get a free bottle of Squatty Potty's Fruity Booty Poo Spray. Believe me, your coworkers, your roommates, your mom, they're all gonna thank you. So go to squattypotty.com/unhappy and get your very own Squatty Potty. Squatty Potty, the original toilet stool. We are here with Mateo Lane.
Hi.
Comedian, singer, illustrator.
I can't do my high notes today. I blew up my voice
rain.
In Chicago.
It's the weather.
That's all I got. Normally I'm full of
great.
Whistle tones.
Yeah.
Now this is what it's like to be Mariah.
Poor Mariah.
No, not poor Mariah.
Rest in peace.
Although I did Xanax for the first time the other day. I don't do drugs or anything, but I was feeling agita. So this guy, my friend Adam, was like, take a Xanax. And I was so in heaven. I mean, I was on stage. I was like, if this is what Mariah does every night, girl, lip sync all you want. This feels fabulous.
Well, we'll get to divas.
Okay.
Let's start off. We ask everybody right up front, what is one thing that you hate that everybody else loves?
I hate so much. Where do I begin? I hate strollers. And I hate new mothers who talk through their baby to everybody else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's, no, we can't afford that today. We're not going to buy that. No, we're not. We're going to be buying this instead because daddy hates us. I mean, it's like, bitch, I don't, good. I'm happy you're talking to your kid, but I'm, you know, I got to go. You know
yeah.
what I mean? You're taking, just, you wouldn't understand because you're not a mother. No, I never said I would understand, but I have a job. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I need to go. I was at a wedding, my cousin's wedding, and I was singing. And this woman who just had a baby came up to me, and I had just done Colbert, so it was like annoying. The amount of people were like, "We saw you on TV." So this woman came up to me with her baby, and she's like, "We saw you on TV yesterday. We were hoping you would tell us jokes." Who's we? That thing just shat its diaper, yeah, and you're talking to me through your baby in a baby voice. Like, I was like, "Get away from me."
Yeah.
So that bothers me.
That's a good one.
I hate CrossFit.
Good. Also,
there's nothing
good.
Like being like an accountant during the day and a shit gladiator at night.
How did you get into comedy?
I mean, long story short, I used to sing. I was a trained singer, a classical singer, opera. But then I went to school for art. But I wanted to keep singing and performing. It just is in every performer that like need to want to
right.
perform and get on stage. So I had a friend. Her name was Jilly, and she was a part of this cabaret group that went around Chicago and sang. And the reason I did it is because they allowed you to pick your own songs. Now, the other part of this was you were with drag queens, and I, quotations drag queens, I mean, they were, it was rough. It was burlesque dancers.
Uh-huh.
And we performed at gay strip clubs.
Uh-huh.
So every weekend, I'd go with this group, and I loved it. I would perform, we would go, you would, the changing rooms are either like a basement Anne Frank wouldn't hide in, or just like, I swear to you, the dumpster outside. So, you know, you have like a stripper in the back, like jacking off to get hard, a drag queen powdering her face for the 8,000th time, and then we would be drinking heavily. But then at 4 o'clock in the morning, we could go up, we get to perform. So I would sing like, I would sing like The Way We Were, and then old men would just throw peanuts at me. But I loved it. I thought, I did it for like a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was fabulous. I mean, it was just shit show after shit show after shit show. But then I knew that I wanted to do comedy, especially after I had been watching Joan Rivers. And so I swear to you, it's like a calling. You're just sort of like, yeah, I just have to do stand-up. And so my friend Anais was dating a guy named Marty DeRosa, who's a really well-known Chicago comic. He's like, oh, I run a room. And then I just asked him, I was like, can I do? I had no idea how it worked. Mm-hmm. Absolutely no idea. So I was like, can I do comedy? And he was like, sure, you can do 3 minutes at my show. So, like, about 40 members of my family showed up. And I did 3 minutes of comedy at this show. And, yeah, that was it. That was the start of it.
So, I feel like most comedians, you get on stage, and there's almost, within the first few jokes, you have to almost call out the thing that you know people are thinking right away.
I have to come out of the closet every night on stage.
Right. That's, and, like, the first thing you have to do.
You don't have to, but it's better. For me, so I'm not like Tim Dillon or James Adomian where they don't have to bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And not that they're ashamed of it, but if they don't want to bring it up, they don't have to. They do, but they don't have to. They don't, as James Adomian says, they don't scan gay.
Right.
I get on stage, I scan very gay. I'm a very gay man. I'm proud of being gay. I have a gay voice. I look gay. I wear tight clothes. I enjoy this thing.
Yeah.
But if you don't address it, then people do become distracted. So when I get on stage, first thing out of my mouth, I say, yes, I'm obviously gay. Then I move on. You know, because people, and some straight people don't get that. And I hate when people comment to me, you know, you don't have to talk about being gay, or, oh, you know, I like you because you don't talk about being gay that much. Or you get all these comments and you're like, you know.
Nobody has to talk about anything.
But also the standard of what it means to be a gay comedian. I mean, there's no famous gay male comedian that exists.
Yeah.
There's not. I mean, Mario Cantone doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Right.
Bruce Valanche is more so of a writer than he is a comedian. Even the women, there's lesbians. Ellen DeGeneres, Wanda Sykes, Judy Gold, Margaret Cho, like being, you know, Tig Notaro, like. Being a lesbian comedian is something that we're more used to, but being a gay man, you're not. So there's no one to dictate what I can and can't say. I'm
right.
just going to go say who I am and what I am. And if you don't like it, well, I don't know how to break it to you, but I'm gay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's also your experience. Like, comedy is
it
about
is,
your experience.
But people are threatened by, I don't relate. You know what I mean? I bring up Grindr once and suddenly I'm a hack, but straight people can talk about marriage for 60 plus years. 60 plus. Oh, you have another joke? Oh, that's so interesting. Women and men think differently.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, I mentioned Grindr. Oh, we get it. Don't shove it down our throats. But I do have to say, it is getting better.
Yeah.
I find audiences are more engaging. They're more interested. They're, you know, you don't really, I don't really deal with like all this hate.
Right.
You know, people are actually more open-minded.
So you're a stand-up comedian, but also an illustrator.
Yes.
And you've started to illustrate the series for Bob the Drag Queen, with Bob the
with
Drag
Bob.
Queen. Not for.
Not for.
You work for
you
Bob.
You hear that, Bob? It's not for you. It's with you.
How did that get started? How did you two meet and slash how did that get started?
Bob's one of my best friends. We met like 2 years ago. I was walking, this is before Drag Race. I was walking down the street after Pride and there was Bob at the corner eating. It was like, you know, after Pride when everyone's just like walking around everywhere, you know, and I just hear, Mateo. And I turn around and he goes, I listened to you on Feast of Fun.
And so tell us about the idea of Kick-Ass Drag Queen.
Well, a year ago, Bob said, I want to do a superhero that's a drag queen. And I said, cool, let's just base it off you. So literally at the diner, we had all these napkins and I was drawing out all these ideas for Bob. I was like, okay, what do you want her hair to look like? What do you want her clothes to look like? What can you do this and that? And then we drew out some of the ideas. And then, of course, Drag Race just took over his life. And so about maybe like 3 months ago, we were talking and we were like, you know, we need to pick that back up. And so Bob was on the road. So I said, here's what we're going to do. You're going to write and then I'm going to draw and then we'll just do this back and forth. Then I drew it. Then we both became obsessed. Then it was like every hour we were calling each other. What about this? What about that? Oh my God, we can have Lady Bunny. Oh my God, we could have RuPaul's going to be RuPaul and she's the most evil villain and they get their powers from this and then and that's just Bianca Del Rio. And people really are responding. Well, we have one spelling error. Whoops. But, you know, people are really responding to it, which is really exciting for both Bob and I because it's like, we love this idea and maybe other people do and people do. So right. That's kind of how it started.
So clearly, I mean, you're amazing at both being an illustrator and being a comic. Did you feel like you had to choose at one point? I mean, you're doing both, so I guess no. But
no, I don't think so. You know, what's funny though is like I will because I have a cartoon I wrote that I'm pitching next month, mm-hmm. And it's funny how like every time I try and get away from the drawing, it somehow serves me.
Right.
It's like, I feel like Streisand. You know, she's like, I don't want to be known as a singer. I'm a director. But then, you know, people always go back. She leans on the singing so people pay attention to what else she's doing. So I kind of married the two with my cartoon and with Kick-Ass Drag Queen. I've never in my life done drawings and gotten people's response. Every once in a while I post on Instagram, like, I drew Maleficent, where, you know, I'm like, I'm not always naked. So, you know, this is the first time that I'm doing drawings and getting really fun feedback, which is new for me. So that's very exciting.
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword, though, getting feedback right away.
Well, everyone's calling me a faggot on this. Who gives a shit? You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you experience the worst just right away, then everything is uphill.
Yeah, I'm really not bothered by it.
So you host, is it monthly you do a show?
A monthly show.
That is a
Battle of the Divas.
Battle of
the
Divas.
With Christy Cello. It's a debate show. We bring up two comedians. We have drag queens as those divas. Yes. Mariah versus Whitney. Gaga versus Beyonce. Madonna versus Cher. We do it all.
Right. We're going to play like a kind of mini version of that.
Perfect.
We're going to give pairs of divas.
And I pick.
You have to kill one of them. With a
okay.
However you want.
Do we have to kill? Can we just say, give them a Xanax?
Give them a Xanax.
Okay.
Sure.
I don't know if it's good for me to say, I want to kill
okay, we'll be
Mariah
nicer.
Carey. You know what I mean?
We'll like be nicer.
Okay.
You don't have to. You can kill the other one. You could give the other one a Xanax.
I may throw out a kill here and there.
Okay. But first is, how do you define a diva, I guess?
A woman gay men pay attention to.
Okay. What is it about divas that you think gay men like?
Well, I think it's the camp, but I also think it's, you know, and I liken it to like Disney villains. It's whoever is playing sort of outside the patriarch, mm-hmm. and is sort of a larger than life and not playing by the rules. Gays sort of associate with that. I also think too, you know, there's the idea of marrying the mask and the femme. You know, a lot of gay men, including myself, everyone, we're all a mix of what it means to be masculine and feminine, which is great being gay because you have your foot in both worlds.
Right.
So I think divas, Judy Garland and Whitney Houston and Patty and Aretha and all these divas, Liza, they tend to play in both of those worlds. And it's almost we could mimic that.
Right. Start off with the big ones. Whitney versus Mariah. You have to give one a Xanax.
Luckily, Mariah's doing that herself right now. Are we talking about their prime?
Sure.
I will. Okay, I'm going to pick Mariah.
As the better one.
Is one I would lean to, because I do think Whitney's a better singer.
Uh-huh.
But Mariah, I keep going back to.
Right.
Whitney, I don't go back to as much. But Mariah, I keep going back to.
Okay.
So I would say like a 95, 96 Mariah would probably beat out Whitney. But Whitney it's a toss-up. I mean, you could convince me either way, but right now you're asking me. I would say, generally speaking, I lean towards more Mariah.
Right.
But Whitney, I do think, is overall a better singer.
Uh-huh. Beyonce or Rihanna?
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Even though, personally, who I'd like to hang out with, Rihanna.
Yeah.
But then, you know, like, overall speaking, it's hard to beat Beyonce. And right. I am partially saying that so I can maintain a career.
Right.
I love Wendy Williams. I don't care if you come after me, Beehive. I don't go on my Instagram. I don't care.
It's a lie. It's a lie. Britney or Christina?
Christina's such a cunt.
Yeah.
I mean, she's insufferable. And she's someone else. She's a perfect person who's the perfect example of someone who is extremely talented and picks terrible music. I mean, but she's a better singer, so I'll go for Christina. Well, she sang a couple jazz songs one time, and her voice is stunning when she sings jazz. When she's not, I mean, that's just too much.
That's what she does, though.
But it's enough. It's enough already.
Yeah.
I mean, Britney, she looks like the Joker now. What did she do to her mouth? But I would go Christina,
okay.
Which I know gays won't like. But you know what?
I agree. I think Britney has had her moment.
She has. And you know what? She's happy and she's a good mother and
not the air quotes.
And just, she looks fabulous. You know, she does Tai Bo and considers it dancing.
Katy Perry versus Taylor Swift.
Katy Perry.
Yeah.
I don't like Taylor Swift.
But you like Katy or just
I don't know. I think she writes great music. Taylor Swift as a person, I think, is fine. I mean, I'm not saying like I don't like her as a person. She seems like a young girl. She's stunningly beautiful. She's very talented. I don't buy that. Katy Perry, even though she did that wretched interview, remember that with the therapist where like she's like, I just wanted to like cut my hair. And he's like, yes. Like, it's very creepy. If you haven't listened to it, Google it.
At all.
Oh, it's horrifying. But she writes good music and she seems like she's dating hot B-list actors and is having a good time. So I'd go with Katy Perry.
Demi versus Ariana.
Ariana.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing. Ariana has the diction of a fog machine, but she is one of the few women, and I do think she steals a lot from Mariah, but I think Ariana is comes down to it. She's very talented. She's got a really good voice, and she's one of the last people we have that can sing well.
Yeah,
I mean, Demi's got a good voice and surprised me when I hear, but there's just, I guess it's an age thing. I mean, kids seem to fucking love Demi Lovato, and I watch, I'm like, I kind of don't get it.
Barbara Streisand versus Diana Ross.
Get out of here. Barbara Streisand. Barbara rises to the top over everybody.
Okay.
Diana Ross, her best thing she ever did was The Wiz, and she looked the best and sounded the best. I mean, she sounded good when she sang Home, except Whitney did it better on the Merv Griffin Show in 1983. But Barbara Streisand is easily, besides Maria Callas, undoubtedly one of the greatest singers of all time. No question.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And Barbara's still going, and she'll be forever.
My chickens lay green eggs. I mean, she's so out of it.
Bette Midler versus Bernadette Peters.
Bette Midler. Bernadette Peters. I like Bernadette, but my lip broke. I mean, my favorite thing Bernadette did was her singing in Anastasia.
Yeah.
Perry, who's the key to your heart? She's one of those singers that sings in full chest and then just flips to head voice for no reason.
Right.
You know what I mean? When I was sick. And you're like, wait, go.
What is happening?
What's going on? Whitney did that a lot, too. Oh, and you. And it's like, okay, I guess that's what we're doing.
Angela Bassett versus Helen Mirren.
I instinctively wanted to say Angela Bassett because I think she should have played Storm. And I'm still waiting for Halle Berry's apology for how she portrayed Storm. RuPaul should have played Storm. Because remember in the cartoon, it was like, and in the comics too, more so in the comics, but like, if they were like, Storm, could you open a window? Winds rise and sweep the thorns beneath our path. It was like, okay, never mind. I'll have Jubilee do it. You know, but in the movie, she never did that. And the gays were just waiting for her to lift up those arms. Right? You know what I'm talking about? And just summon those storms and
right.
From the ends of the earth, send limitless cold upon him. We never got it. So I'll never forgive Halle Berry for that.
Simon Cowell versus Justin Bieber.
Simon Cowell, a bitchy, big-titted woman. I mean, just yelling at everyone. No, he brought us Susan Boyle. I go for Simon Cowell. And he brought honesty to America when we needed it most. Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, people who go, oh, he's so mean. No, people on American Idol come on their own accord. They know what they're getting into. And if you're a bad singer, then you need to hear it.
Yeah.
You need to hear it. It's like Patrice when he used to go after bad comedians. It's like someone needs to say to you, you have to stop doing this. Right. You have to stop.
Well, that was a great strong note to end on. That was
Diva
Deathmatch. We killed off a number of people, and by killed off, I mean we gave them Xanax.
We got into a pretty deep conversation about it.
We did.
Yeah.
Before you go, where can people find you and your work?
You can find me at Mateo Lane on Instagram, MateoLane, and Twitter and Snapchat, although Snapchat I don't use it, and I should because I'm getting a show on Snapchat. And then Kickass Drag Queen is on Instagram, so follow that. It's a story of a kickass drag queen.
Awesome.
Written by Bob the Drag Queen and illustrated by moi.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Grazie per tutto.
Have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Alla prossima.
Bye.
Ciao.
All right, we're almost at the end of the show. We've come to the time when we do our chaser, the thing at the end of the week that makes it all go down. Barry, do you have a chaser?
I do.
What is it?
Kyle MacLachlan's Twitter presence is just like, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like a dad, but a child. He's just really sincere and sweet and always making cute little jokes. And it just brings me a lot of joy. And I just wish the best for him. Matt, what's your chaser this week?
I have two chasers and they're both gay. One, this should be my chaser every week for the rest of my life until I hopefully die from it. Jon Snow's butt.
Oh, it's just so good.
I hope the last thing I see is Jon Snow's butt over my mouth.
Oh, what?
And nose, and it just suffocates me.
Oh my God, Matt.
Who knew? Who knew that in Game of Thrones time, they had butt waxing, they had SoulCycle. Shout out to Jon Snow's butt for being amazing and for warming the winds of winter.
That's cute.
My dragon spewed hot fire when that shit came on. In other great news, Will and Grace is finally on iTunes. It hasn't been available anywhere, not on any streaming service, not available for purchase, anywhere. And finally, you can buy it on iTunes. And I'm so excited. And I've been rewatching it. And I love it. Because I came to the embarrassing conclusion that I am a horrifying mix between Chandler Bing and Jack McFarlane. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
And Fat Monica. I think we have to add that in. But also Olive. The Will and Grace cast, all four of them, because that's all who is on that show, are invited to come on the show and bitch with me. That's it. Thank you for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts or wherever else you get this show. Hit subscribe, then rate us, review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit. You can also find us on Spotify and Stitcher. And all the places where podcasts are. Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Jenna Weiss-Berman, Josh Gwynn, and me, Matt Belisai. Special thanks to Max Linsky, Emily Becker, and Jess Hackle. And this week's sponsor, Squatty Potty. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can find me on all the social medias at Matt Belisai. You can pre-order my book, Everything is Awful, and other observations on everythingisawfulbook.com. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Bye-bye. Only in Florida.
Ooh. How high can you get?
Only in Florida. God damn it. You're going to use that now.